pray that this would be about glorifying you tonight. God, I pray that anyone that doesn't know you tonight, anyone that's lost tonight, God, that they would not leave this place without knowing you as their Savior. God, we love you. Thank you for letting us gather to worship you. In your name I pray. Amen. Merry Christmas. Come on.
Merry Christmas.
There we go. I'm waiting for like a Santa in the crowd or something, I guess. I tell you, I like having the kids in here, though. That's a lot of fun. I think we had a whole lot more kids in the first service just because some kids aren't crazy enough, like some of us, to keep them up late. It's awesome. So I told the kids in the first service, you guys don't be afraid to talk to me while we're doing this. You hear something you like, you can amen, you can go whatever, kapow, whatever you feel like. We're glad that you're in here with us tonight and getting to hang out. Tonight, I'm getting to share some really cool stuff, and it's the kind of stuff that changes your life. It's the kind of stuff that many of us have experienced God change our life through it before. But tonight, I want us to look with fresh eyes upon some things that we have studied before in Scripture, and specifically concerning this whole thought of Christmas and what God has done through this little baby boy. And so as we talk about that, just go there with me. We're gonna talk about some really cool stuff tonight. I wanna ask you, if you've got a Bible, to go ahead and get it out. And if you do, turn to the book of Luke. And if you don't have a Bible, tough luck. No, I'm just kidding. If you don't have a Bible, we've got ushers, and they would gladly bring you one. Just hold your hand up, and they will put one on you right away. So just throw your hand up there. Maybe you left it in the car. Maybe you left it at home. Whatever it is. But grab one of those. If you don't own a Bible, I want you to know that you can take that one. It is a gift for you, and you can keep it. Just use it. Let God speak through it to you. It is His word. We have people in our church that specifically help us stock those bookcases with Bibles so that people that don't own Bibles can own a Bible. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get one of those. Tonight we're looking at Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, we have this picture, this amazing, amazing picture of something that is just unbelievable that happened. And I want us to look at this together in Luke 2, verse 8 specifically is where we're going to start tonight. And in Luke 2, verse 8, it says this. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Imagine they were. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered. And when they saw it, they made known to him, saying that they had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Amazing, amazing turn of events. I mean, you just think about what God did on just this time period right here alone that we have this passage. And we have some description here, but we're not really getting to fully experience everything that's happening in this passage. You know, for starters, I would just like a glimpse, just a quick look at what it looks like to see the heavenly host. I mean, you just think about that. I mean, I have no idea. I can't, you know, I'm the greatest movie I've ever seen can't possibly come, you know, anywhere near what this must look like. Something just so unbelievable. I mean, and you got to think about it. Like, you go back to verse 8 here, and in the same region there were shepherds. Goes to shepherds. You know, last week we talked about how Christ came from the first moment as not like the king of all kings that's going to, you know, try to show how great he is in wealth, wearing great robes and having lots of money or, you know, whatever it was. You know, Jesus came as a humble king from the very moment that he was born. Born into a manger, not into a palace. Jesus came in such a way that God wasn't, you know, yeah, we have magi and we have some of this other stuff going on, but who gets to hear first? Who gets to come in first? Shepherds. The shepherds by themselves. You got to know, these were not like, you know, the guys around town that everybody like, yeah, you know, he's a really stand-up guy. You know, we like that shepherd. He's a good, you know. I mean, there are probably some of those guys, but for the most part, the shepherds were known as being kind of roughneck guys. I mean, you just go back historically and look at who shepherds were generally. You know, shepherds are just like, you know, average Joe that wasn't afraid to like mess you up if you got sideways with him, okay? And so, you know, I'm thinking about like these guys, they're working all night. Some of you have jobs where you work all night. And you know, I'm just thinking about like, you know, it takes a different kind of person sometimes to do the all-nighter shift and stuff. And so I'm just going like based upon like what I know historically of shepherds, and like I've watched a lot of reality TV. And like the closest thing I can come to like what might be a shepherd that I've seen on TV might be like some of these guys that are repoing cars in the middle of the night. I don't know if you've seen these guys, but those guys are amazing. I love watching those shows. I mean, let's face it, we are hoping that the owner is going to come out of the house and, or, you know, or out of the restaurant. Or I saw one time they repoed like a church van, and like all these women from the church like went out there and started singing around the van to try to keep them from taking the van. It was amazing. You know, that's why we don't have a church van. It'd probably get repoed. And you know, but you know, you just think about that. And so Jesus comes to these guys. These guys are the ones that get like the all onslaught, like angel is here to like bring the noise and tell you that the Savior has come. You're the guys out here hanging with the sheep. And they have this unbelievable thing that happens where an angel shows up and this whole heavenly host and this whole bit, as if the angel wasn't enough. And it must have just been like the most incredible thing they have ever seen in their entire lives. And they're out here in the field watching their sheep, and they go with haste. And in verse 11, the angel says, in fact, we'll read verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I love that. And he says this, "For unto you," verse 11, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." For unto you. We've been talking about this whole Emmanuel, you know, terminology and what that means, and that God came to us. He didn't like come to us and like some kind of like where's Waldo puzzle thing, like you got to go find him. He came to us. He has come to you. You could be here tonight and you not know Jesus, and I'm about to tell you something that could just absolutely change your life. He has come to you, and he has been waiting for you to receive him as your Savior. He's been waiting for you to let him change your life. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a" what? "Savior." "Savior." "For unto you is born this day," verse 11, in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You know why that's good news? Because it's a Savior. It's not just another baby boy. I mean, I love it when we have, and we have a lot of folks in our church that end up in this way. I love it when people have babies, you know? And we have a lot of babies at our church. I mean, it is not an abnormal thing for me to find out, hey, guess what, we're pregnant. And I'm like, cool, that's awesome. You know, you're in the next wave. You know, I don't know if you've realized, we have waves of babies being born here, it seems like. And we're in a wave right now. Like, we're up to, like, I think 3 or 4, and some people don't even know some of those. And it's just, you know, it's crazy. Flip side of that, there's a lot of people in our church that can't have a baby right now, and they're really torn up about that. It's hard sometimes to be here. It's good for us to kind of keep that mind as we talk with people, minister to one another, love on one another. But this was not just another baby. As beautiful and as awesome as it is when a baby is born, this was a Savior. A Savior. Our culture, our lives, growing up as a little boy, you know, was consumed. My thought process a lot of times was consumed with this idea of a Savior. Now, I didn't oftentimes vocalize it that way, but it was pretty evident in the fact that, you know, I had Batman t-shirts and comic books and figures and all this stuff. I mean, we love a hero. We love to know that there is somebody out there that can defeat all of the things that we cannot. They can overcome all of the bad things in this world when nobody else can. I mean, we love that. We love that aspect. We love this thought of a hero, of someone who saves. Jesus is that and a whole lot more. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This would become the thing that had been anticipated for the first half of history. You think about that. Think about what it was like to be a Christian in the Old Testament. Think about what it was like to be looking forward to a time when God was going to do something that he promised and he promised and he promised and he promised, and then finally, boom, one day, it finally comes. We can't stand the anticipation of a movie that's going to come out next July as soon as they let the trailer out, right? Batman, July 2012, IMAX, I'm going. Midnight, you go with me, okay? See, hero thing, love it still, can't get over it. I'm still a kid. We can't stand that, but they had an anticipation, some of them all of their lives, of the Messiah that was going to come to save the world. It says in verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And I love this. They go over verse 16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known to them, saying that they had been told them concerning this child and all. And this I think gives us a picture of something that we're not used to seeing when we're thinking about the story. But in verse 18, and all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. All? Who's all? I think, you know, for so many, the truth is there were other people there. We don't know who. But obviously there were other people that are wondering at what the shepherds told them, because it says in verse 19, it's not saying all like Mary and Joseph. It's got to be more than just Joseph standing there for it to be called all. Because Mary in verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She didn't wonder. She's like treasuring every word that she's taking it in. She's like, this is unbelievable. It's so awesome to hear that God has spoke to you about what he's spoken to me about. And maybe now people won't think I'm crazy when I tell them that I was a virgin. In verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard as it had been told to them. And they go and they tell about Jesus. It's amazing. Amazing picture. Here's the thing. Good leaders, good heroes have a strategy, have a plan, don't they? Superman always has a plan. Spider-Man always has a plan. It's kind of unfair, honestly, to equate those guys with Jesus. They're worlds apart. But Jesus had a plan. He had a strategy. There was a plan set in place from the beginning of time of something that was going to happen, things that were going to go down, things that just boggle our mind when we really begin to really think through what was going on, that from the beginning of time that there was a plan, and the plan was this. The plan was that God already knew that we were going to fall. He already knew that we were going to sin. He already knew that we were going to need to be saved from that sin. And throughout history, he was going to have this time of anticipation of a Messiah that would come, and everybody would trust in him, put their faith in God that he was going to save them. Before Jesus ever showed up in a manger, and then he sends this little baby boy, God himself as a human being, humbly coming to give his life, his whole life, his whole entire ministry. We know that he humbled himself constantly, constantly putting others before him. His life was about serving others. He didn't come at any given point and go, well, I want this and I expect that and I deserve my whatever it is. There was none of that. It was about him glorifying the Lord, glorifying the Father by serving others through humility. And he lived his life without sin. And why is that so important? Let me tell you, because this is going to rock your world if you've never really thought about this. He lived his life without sin, being the only perfect human in history, making him the only perfect sacrifice to be killed, to be slaughtered, to be murdered for our sin, taking the death that we deserve. Jesus gave his life on a cross. The thing is they beat him, they killed him, all of those things, but then he didn't stay dead. And one of the glorious pieces of knowing the gospel is knowing that it didn't stop there. Because let's face it, what difference would it be for somebody to come along and say, well, I'm this guy and I'm God, or I'm a Messiah and I'm here to save you, and then they die. We've seen that through history, right? But only once have we seen someone conquer death and come back and say, I have defeated sin, it is done. Jesus rose again. Then he went back to be with the Father, and he promised us he will come again. And now we get to live in this period of history where we now have our hope in, again, what he is going to do when he comes again. You see, he's better than a hero because he's got no kryptonite. There's nothing that keeps him from conquering death. There's nothing that keeps him from conquering sin. He is our Savior. And he came to save us from this world, from ourselves, from our sin. I want you to turn to a passage in John chapter 3. You got your Bible open. John chapter 3. We're going to start in a verse that that a lot of folks know by heart. We're going to read a couple of verses past that. And I want to just talk for just a minute about what these verses are saying. But in John 3, verse 16, we see this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That is like a breath of fresh air in a world where we just get a whole bunch of just bad news. Eternal life. Life in general. I've been with a family on and off for the last several weeks, and some of them were here in the first service, that are holding on to life with their father right now. He stays in the hospital. He's been in a coma. He's come out. He's not doing so hot right now. They're holding on to life. They called me this past week, told me that he opened his eyes. He'd come out of this coma. He'd been in it for days. They just were beside themselves. They couldn't believe what was happening. He was responding. They were asking him questions, and he could give them thumbs up or thumbs down. And in that moment, in that perspective, we get how powerful life is. But we forget what life is and how valuable it is until moments like that so many times. And when this passage is saying that he loved the world so much that he gave his Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life, that we would never have to fear death. And in verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Because a lot of people say, "Well, Chris, that's so close-minded that Jesus is the only way, and that he says, you know, that it's only through him." I don't see that. I don't see close-minded in "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." God gave a way out for us to be redeemed. He gave a ransom for the thing that we don't deserve. Forgiveness of our sin. He made a way. And in verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Let me tell you something. Above everything else, what this church cares about, what this church cares about above everything else, is that people know Jesus. Nothing else. And we care about other things, but that's the top. That's like the main thing. It's so easy for us in tradition, especially in the South, for our you know, thought of Jesus to be just, let's stick that with religion and let's make it about religion. And in our heads, that's all about good church attendance and being good people and all this stuff. And let me just tell you, that's not what it's about. It is not about good church attendance and not about being good people. That is an outcome of knowing Christ. If we know Christ, if we love him, those things flow out of that. For us to go through the motions of doing those things and not know Jesus is worthless. It's meaningless. And so many people mean well by doing those things, but the truth is that God wants us to know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants to change us. He wants to use us as instruments of grace in everything that we do, that people would see Jesus in us all the time. Romans 5:8 says this. It says, but God shows his love, and I love this, shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's not closed-minded to me. That's more grace than we ever deserved. That while we were still sinners, Jesus gave his life for us. This baby, remember the baby? Remember the manger? Remember the stars? Remember the shepherds, the repo guys, you know? Remember all that? That baby sent to be our Savior. Jesus came to save. He came to save. He came to glorify the Father. And he did so by living that perfect life. He did so by dying that horrible, brutal death. He did so by defeating death and coming back to life and going, na-na-na-boo-boo, death. You don't get me. And he continually does it by destroying sin, by being the ransom that he was for us on the cross, allowing us to have forgiveness through putting our faith and our trust in him. Because what did it say? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Believes? Do you believe? Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? I'm not interested in your church background or how religious you are. I got to be honest with you, I'm not a religious guy. I don't get into religion. I don't like religion. I was a religion major at one point in my life. Religion stinks. Jesus saves. This is about Jesus. This is about a relationship with him. This isn't about trying to impress anybody. Going through the motions is for hypocrites. Who wants to do that? I don't want to do that. I know we fall into it at times, but the truth is we fight against him. We remember this is about Jesus. This is about knowing him. This is about letting him change us, that God would use us for his glory in this world, that they might also know him as their Savior. As a kid, one of the things I wanted the most as a kid, man, was like a cool bike. I'm talking about a cool bike. You know what I mean by a cool bike. I don't know if you know what I mean by a cool bike, but I'm about to tell you, okay? Lived in this little town called Princeton, Kentucky as a kid, and not much going on in Princeton, Kentucky. Wasn't much going on then. There's not much going on now. I love to go back there. I have a lot of folks there I love. But one of the things that I loved to do was there was a bicycle shop in town was called Pokey's Bike Shop. It was amazing. A couple of old dudes that ran this thing, and I don't even know how they got into the bike business. I don't know what they thought they were doing opening a bike shop in Princeton, Kentucky. That'd be like opening a bike shop in Pleasant View. And I'm sure that a lot of us would like to have a bike shop here, but let's just face it, probably not the wisest of business adventures, okay? So they open up this bike shop, and I used to walk down there, and I had kind of a junky bike I had when I was a young kid, you know, and then you know, it was time for me to get a different bike, and I was ready, like most of my friends were skating, and I wanted to like use their ramps and like, you know, do the thing and you know, do tricks and all this stuff. And so, you know, I went and I would go look at these bikes, and a cool bike, I mean, this is what a cool bike was then. A cool bike then was a bike that had pegs on the front and on the back, okay? Not one or the other. I'm talking about both. Not one side or the other. I'm talking about both sides, all right? Four pegs. Four pegs of awesomeness that you could put your feet on in places where your feet are not meant to be on a bicycle, okay? And then you had this thing on the handlebars that was, you know, where it hooks down into the frame called a rotor. And what a rotor was this thing that allowed you to be able to spin the handlebars. You got to remember, you got brake lines on each handlebar, you know, that run down through the deal. Allowed you to spin the handlebars all the way around over and over and over again without the brake lines getting jacked up, right? So, you know, then you could like do tricks and like flip your, you know, handlebars around, and you were mad cool. Well, we were probably just not in a real situation to afford one of these bikes. And to be honest with you, like, you know, I would go look at these bikes, and the ultimate of these, you had Diamondback, you had a couple of these different things, but the one that everybody wanted was a Mongoose. Okay? So for Christmas that year, I had finally had it beat in my head from my parents that they weren't, you know, that Santa didn't have like $400 to spend on a bicycle. And you know, I was probably just going to need to settle for something a little less. So I went to Walmart. And at Walmart, they had this bike that I fell in love with. And it became like, if I can't have that, then I'll take this kind of deal. And it was the Huffy Sigma. The Huffy Sigma. It was gray. And it had white discs on the wheels. I don't know if you remember these bikes. These bikes were awesome. And this is what I got for Christmas. And I was the coolest kid in town without a Mongoose, okay? And so I rode that bike, and I loved that bike. It's like the greatest gift of all time. Fast forward, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, all right? 2 weeks ago, I run by some friends of mine have a pawn shop. I went by there for just a second to see them. And I come back out, and I sat down in my car, and I don't know how I didn't see it when I went in. I think I was just like tunnel vision. I had to run in there, tell them something or whatever. And I run back out. And when I run back out, I sat down in my car, and I look right in front of my car, and leaned up against their building. It's a bike. And I looked at it through my windshield and was like, what is that? And I got out of the car, and I looked, and I walked over, and I saw pegs. And I looked, I saw a rotor. And I looked down, and it was like, Mongoose. And I was like, yes. And my buddy that runs a shop or whatever, by this time he's walked over the parking lot, is over somewhere else. I jump on this thing, and I ride across the parking lot to him, and I like ride up. He's talking to somebody else. They're dealing on something or something. I don't know. And I just ride up, and I'm like, dude, what do you want for this bike? And he looks at me like, what? Are you really? And I was like, yeah, no, seriously, what do you want for this bike? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, I'll give you $50 for it. And he's like, okay, it's yours. And I was like, all right, where's the, you know? It's a sweet Mongoose. It doesn't matter how old I am. It's a sweet Mongoose. And the brakes don't work, but I've still ridden it up and down my driveway. And we'll fix that, right? I mean, like, this was like the best gift that I could imagine in my life. Best gift I could imagine. And looking back, like, the best gift that my parents probably ever gave me was that Huffy Sigma. Because I wore that thing out. I loved that thing. I rode all over town, busting up sidewalks, alleyways. I mean, to the point that eventually I got community service at one point in time. That's another story. But probably the greatest gift that I ever got. But the truth is this. The truth is that no gift surpasses the gift that God did in sending his son to be born in that manger. To live, to die, to overcome death, to teach us what it meant to know him, to have a relationship with him, that we could have life, breath, life eternally through him. And today the question is not, are you a good person? Have you been to church enough in your life? It's about, do you know him? Do you have a real relationship with him? Is he changing you? Are you letting him change you on a daily basis? Because real relationships are something that are not cultivated when it's convenient for us. Real relationships are people that we care about, and we do everything that we can to pour into them. And tonight, I just got to ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you believe in him? Has God saved you through the work of his son on the cross? He can and he wants to. Let's pray together. God, the whole scene, the whole manger scene, the whole nativity scene is all focused on this beautiful baby boy. God, I pray this morning, God, tonight, God, I pray that we would have our focus on this baby boy. God, we need him. We need you to save us through him. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't miss out on what that means in our lives. God, I pray, Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would show us what it means to have you as our Savior. God, in everything that we do, God, I pray, Lord, that our lives would be for your glory and not for our own. God, for anyone that doesn't know you here, God, speak to their hearts. God, show them what it means to believe in you. Help them to understand the massiveness of the work that has been done through Jesus Christ murdered on that cross for us. God, thank you for taking what we don't deserve. Thank you for taking our death, the death that we deserve for our sin. God, that no matter how bad we've been, no matter the baggage we have in life, God, that you have done that for us. God, just remind us daily just how blessed we are to be children of God. Lord, we love you.